Hey, and welcome back. Back, where did I go? It's the Gil Can Run Show, episode 16. I can't really... 16. I can't do it anymore. Cool. Episode 16, right? So, I need to shave. I haven't shaved today. I gotta get on that. I actually just got out of the shower. I just got back from a run. Did about 8.5 miles around New Haven, and it was fun to run in the middle of the day when nobody else is really running, and like you go through Yale campus and people are going back and forth to class and they're like, the fuck's with this dude, right? So it's kind of cool, it's kind of fun. Just getting ready for Hartford Marathon. Couldn't even think right now. Getting ready for Hartford Marathon coming up. I'm actually going to be part of a study for Quinnipiac University. They're testing the effects of marathon running on age and certain markers in the blood. So it'll be fun. I don't know exactly what they're testing for, but they're going to take a blood sample and a urine sample the night before. They're going to take a blood sample and a urine sample, if I have any, right after the race. And they're going to take a blood sample and another urine sample the day after. So, Hartford Marathon weekend, I'm going to be bleeding and peeing a lot, apparently. So, we will see. As I told them, I said, I don't know how well the peeing is going to work after the race, because the fact of the matter is that generally after a race, I don't need to go. And when I do, it's not just peeing. So, we will see, though. We'll see what happens. We'll see how everything goes. And hopefully I help out and they learn some sciencey stuff about that. So, because it's cool. Discovery is cool. As I've said like a million times, discovery is what we're here to do. It's, you know, the whole point. There's no other point to anything else that we are doing except for discovery. And figuring things out and figuring out how to, you know, do cool things. And figuring out the hell makes everything run. Because other than that, we're, you know, just supposed to, what, eat, breathe, reproduce, and die. And that's pretty much it. Everything else in between is all what we make of it. So we might as well make the best of it. And I think the best thing that we can do is discover. Because what we've been doing hasn't been working out very well for some people. Other people it's been working out very well for, don't get me wrong. But, we should do what's going to work out best for all people. And yeah, what we're doing just doesn't do that. So speaking of which, the Pope's in town. Now, I was raised in a Catholic house. I am Catholic. I fail a lot of times. But, you know, that's okay. I do what I got to do. We've discussed those things before, but a lot of people have been trashing the Pope because he's too liberal for them. And some presidential candidates, a certain senator from Florida was sitting there the other day saying, oh, well, the Pope's infallible, but as far as morality goes, but when it comes to science and the economy, he should shut up. It was basically the gist of what he said. It doesn't work that way, though. Like, there are things that I disagree with the Pope, that I disagree with the Church about. Okay? But he's the Pope. He's allowed to have those positions. I'm not being a good Catholic and not supporting those positions and arguing a different point of view. I'm okay with that. That's the way that it is. You know, that's the way it's always been. Either, you know, you don't get to try and say, oh, well, you know, he's infallible and his word's infallible, but I'm not going to agree with him in this. And he's not infallible about this, because here's the thing, right? Okay. So you don't agree with him on climate change. Okay. Which is a scientific point of view. Okay. But you agree with him about abortion. Which is also a scientific point of view. Whether, now, hear me out here, okay? Here's the thing. when life begins is something that is quantifiable. It is something scientific. Okay? That simple. So, you're okay with him on science on some things, but you're not okay with him on science on other things. That's what you're saying. You can't do that. Okay? He is a scientist. Okay? He has a degree in chemistry. Now, he's saying that life begins at conception, and that's been the point of view of the church for the last 150 years. We won't get into the fact that before that, that wasn't the point of view of the church, that they actually wrote manuals about women inducing miscarriages and things like that for unwanted pregnancies for centuries. That is the truth. You can look that up. There are documents showing that to be true. Last 150 years or so, they've changed their mind on that. But here's my thing, and this is personal anecdotal evidence. I have relatives who have had pregnancy complications, who had fetuses that were never going to take a breath in this world. Okay? They did not form certain vital organs, or there were defects in certain vital organs. That meant that when this baby was born, it was already dead. Okay. Now, in years gone by, that pregnancy would get carried to term because nobody knew. There was no way of knowing until it was too late. And the, you know, child would be born and that would be that, and terrible tragedy for the mother. We have science now where we can determine these things, like if a heart doesn't form or a brain doesn't form, or if there's a giant hole in the heart that can't be repaired, or there's no stomach and things like that, things that are going, no lungs, that's what I meant to say, not stomach, no lungs, where the, there's no possibility that this is a life. The child's never going to live, ever. It's not possible. And you're telling me that that person has to carry that child to term, or, you know, maybe there is a miscarriage somewhere along the way. But still, if they have a miscarriage, and this was determined, you know, this is the case, and you've outlawed abortion, then, you know, surely someone's going to say, oh, well, you did that on purpose. And we're going to end up with women in jail over, you know, stuff that naturally happened. So I get the argument, and you want to make all life sacred, but until scientifically you can say this is definitely a life, it's not a life. And women should be able to do what they want to their bodies, because I can't imagine a God that's going to have this fetus form, not completely, and have this woman carry it for 9 months, have to go through the trouble of childbirth, the pain of childbirth, and the emotional roller coaster that is gestational period and childbirth, and the aftermath thereof, and not have a child out of that. Like, that's just cruel, that's mean, that's evil, and God isn't evil, right? So, that is my argument. That is my full and honest argument. We won't get into any of the other, you know, arbitrary things that people bring up. Oh, well, people shouldn't be having sex because they just want to, and an unwanted pregnancy is, you know, God's way of... No, just shut up. And we won't even get into other horrible things that happen that result in pregnancy that people seem to think is somehow this wonderful blessing. And, you know, these women should be forced to carry these children. It's just, I can't even begin. And I say all this because somebody actually suggested that I should be more controversial and sell it more. So this is the most controversial thing I can think of, and it's perfect timing, because the Pope's in town. And I do. I love the Pope. I really do. He's a really genuinely nice human being who's really trying to help out. and I just don't agree with him on a couple things. But for the most part, I do. And I'm not going to say anything horrible about him, like people on certain news networks, owned by Rupert Murdoch and run by Roger Ailes, tend to say. By the way, Rupert Murdoch, not an American, an Australian, telling the American people what they should think about politics and stuff. Doesn't sit right with me. There actually used to be a law against foreign entities owning media in the United States. That law changed under Ronald Reagan, by the way, and was changed further under Bill Clinton as one of the compromises that he pulled. And the fact of the matter is that, yeah, no, it's not right. And it's ridiculous, and that whole news network is ridiculous because, like, they're sitting there and they talk about conservative values and they're such good Christians and stuff, and here's, like, the leader of the largest Christian denomination in the world. Catholicism is the largest Christian denomination in the world. 1 billion followers, okay? Your fly-by-night storefront church does not have 1 billion followers. So, 1 billion people following this religion. It is a Christian religion. These people are saying they're such good Christians, and then they're crapping all over this guy. He's a Marxist. He's this, he's that. He's the worst person. So somebody on Fox News actually said he is the worst person on the planet. Look it up. I'm not joking here. They're saying all these horrible things about him because he's sitting there and he's like, well, we shouldn't, you know, like, murder people as a punishment for murdering people to show that murdering is wrong because we might make a mistake, which we have made mistakes, and we've killed people that haven't killed anyone because murdering is wrong. So we've done that. And he said that climate change is a real thing, and we should do that and, you know, work to solve that so people don't die from it, which I arguably could say it's already happening. And then he said things like, you know, work is nice, and there's a dignity in work, and we should all work to make this world a better place. But worshiping money and hoarding it and making sure nobody else has anything, that's wrong. And we shouldn't do that. And they hate him. They hate him for it. They really do. Simply because he said they shouldn't be allowed to make as much money as they want. And they should have to give some of that money to people who don't make as much money. Simply because the system is set up so that people don't make as much money. Because that's the way the system's set up, right? And he even said, the idea was that when the top glass got full, it would trickle down to the rest. But that's not what happens. The top just keep making the glass bigger, and nothing ever trickles down. And there's evidence of that. You can see the numbers where that happens. Where the lower tiers of society, the bottom 90% of American society, and in the world, I think it's actually higher than that, has not seen any income growth in 3 decades. 30 years of no income growth. And certain segments of that population, the bottom 90%, have actually seen a reduction in income. So, obviously, it's not trickling down. The glass is just getting bigger at the top, and it's never full. And it never goes anywhere. So he's saying we need to do things differently. And those people that aren't letting it trickle down need to do something. And he's right. They need to do something. Or else, history teaches us, there will be consequences. Eventually, the people at the bottom will get so pissed off. Yeah, the bad things end up happening. Evidence, France. Evidence, the Soviet Union, the Bolshevik Revolution, Red October. These things do happen because people eventually get so pissed off. There's even evidence in ancient Rome of these things happening. of people just getting fed up. So he's saying, listen, if you want to avoid this, here's what you need to do. It's the morally responsible thing to do. And this entire news network and all the people that follow them and all the radio shows that come off of that from, you know, your Rush Limbaughs and your Michael Savages sit there and say what a horrible human being he is and nobody should be Catholic. Michael Savage actually said that. There is audio tape of him saying, if you haven't left Catholicism yet, you should, because this guy is just that horrible. Okay? These people don't give a damn about your religion. They do not give a damn about any of this stuff. They are opportunists. They are there to say whatever they think will get them the most ratings, will get them the most money, will get them the most followers. That's all they care about. That's all they do. They are a slick marketing scheme to make money. Even the true believers at this point are basically snake oil salesmen. They may not even realize that they are, but they are. Because they really believe it, and they really believe in making this money. So they just, I can't imagine that Ann Coulter, okay, who grew up not far from me, although granted she's a little bit older than I am, I can't imagine that she really believes most of the shit that comes out of her mouth. I can't picture it. Because a lot of it is really, really crazy and really, really crude and wrong, right? But she says it. But she makes a lot of money off of it, too. And like, well, let's take the half-governor from Alaska, right? Now, she's a pretty dumb individual, and I'm not saying that to be mean. She just doesn't know a lot. She knows a little bit and then extrapolates information out of that and comes to conclusions that are wildly wrong. And then she just spouts them out. And a lot of times it seems like she's drunk when she's spouting them out. Like she's had a few too many and she just feels like rambling on. And she says these things that just make no sense, but people love it because it's hate-filled and it's everything. And she knows, because people are giving her money for the, you know, support monetarily for the things that she says, that it resonates with a certain segment of society. So she focuses on that. She just keeps saying it, right? And I think that she's a true believer. I think she really believes the crap that comes out of her mouth. But at the same time, she only says the crap that comes out of her mouth because she's focused it to maximum effect, to make the most money that she can. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, it's almost like it's become a parody of itself, where it started out with your Rush Limbaughs and your, you know, even Glenn Beck to a point, where it was just a show, right? Like, their whole thing was, yes, they believe certain conservative ideologies, but they were doing a show for maximum effect, to get the most ratings, to get the most money. They did very well at that. Glenn Beck, by the way, used to be a DJ down the road for me. He got kicked off the air for being a horrible racist. That's how the New Haven area unleashed Glenn Beck on the world. Because he got fired, he converted to Mormonism, and the next thing you know, he ended up with the national TV show spouting idiocy. I'm sorry. I'm actually sorry for my hand in that. I never listened to KC101 and I never listened to WELI. So, in that way, I guess I'm kind of at fault because I cost him ratings. I hate to say that because I actually have friends who used to work at KC101 and I'm admitting right now that I never listened to their product. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't. Not since Dr. Chris and Jose, which was like in the 80s and early 90s. And even then, normally I was listening to Smith & Barber anyway. So, I didn't even really listen to that all that much. But that's neither here nor there. So my point being that, like, this was all a slick marketing campaign. And then they got these true believers who picked up the formula, but they're true believers. So it's all still just a slick marketing campaign. Now just with really crazy, like really, really crazy people doing it. And like there's so many people, well that makes sense to me. It brings me comfort to hear things that I've said, you know, but they don't realize how horrible those things really are sometimes, okay? Like, you know, our good friend, the hairdo, well, the hair pile, really, the real estate con man from New York City, who had a whole bunch of horrible, awful things to say about Mexican people. Because they're not sending their best here, is what, you know, he went on and say. I can't really do a good Trump because I can't be that much of a weasel. But, you know, like, people loved what he was saying. And he was saying horrible things about people that he doesn't even know. And people that, frankly, he employs. That's the worst part about it. Is how much hypocrisy do you need? You know, like, okay. Number one use for slaves in America is in the sex industry. Okay? Yes, there's still slaves in America. Slavery is outlawed, but the fact is people get smuggled into this country every day and are part of an illicit slave trade that is going on in this country and throughout the world. Okay? Number one use for slaves in America, sexual things. Number two use, housekeeping. Now, a real estate guy who owns a bunch of hotels has housekeepers. How many of them do you think? Yeah, that's what I'm saying here, okay? The fact of the matter is that he is a hypocrite, he is a liar, and people, you know, it resonated with them, and they were like, oh, well, yes, those people are to blame for my problems in life, and they're not. They're really not. Mostly a system set up to only help a few are the reason for your problems in life, okay? Not any other one individual person, okay? Donald Trump is not a problem in my life. He is not someone that I blame for any of my problems, okay? I don't blame Ted Cruz for any of my problems. I don't blame George W. Bush for any of my problems, okay? I live in a system that is necessarily set up that only a few succeed and most everyone else fails. And if we all stick together, most of us can keep our heads above water. But when they divide us up, there's no chance. And that's what they've been doing for the last 40 years now, is they've been dividing us up and we don't stand a chance anymore. And then they tell us, well, you can blame that person, or you can blame that person, or you can blame that person. And when I say person, I mean group of people, okay? That's what they do. And that's where we're at. So we need to come together, we need to stick together, and then we need to transcend all this stuff, because it's all a bunch of BS, right? A money system and stuff like that, it's meaningless. It's all based on stuff we've made up in our head. We believe this to be valuable. Even, you know, and people that'll blame other people and other groups of people for your ills are the same people that'll say, oh, well, we need to go on a gold standard or a silver standard. We need to audit the Fed because they don't have enough gold for what they've printed, even though the law says they don't need any gold. Listen, the value of gold is still completely made up. There's nothing real about it. Oh, well, I have this real gold bar and it's heavy and so it's worth a lot of money. No, it's just a rock that somebody found in the ground and, ooh, if you do this to it, now it's this shiny piece of metal. Oh, it's shiny. You're basing your value system off of shiny things. Stop. Really. Why not just have a value system based off of shiny shells or pebbles that you find on the beach? It's just as meaningless. It's just as worthless. Okay? Whatever you put value into as a society or as an individual gives it value. That's it, right? So maybe we should value things that are real. Work, right? Work is a real thing. And you can value work and you can say one unit of labor is worth this much, and you know, you can base it off of work and what people need to survive, right? And you can do a system like that. You can. You really can. There are people that have written it out. It actually could work. But more than that, we need to value things like discovery, like science, like learning, like math, and even art and history and, you know, philosophy, subjects of substance. The things that tell us where we were, and the things that tell us what's possible and where we can go, right? Those are the things that should be valued in a society. And all of it, too, the good and the bad. And you have to say sometimes we were bad. You know, there's a lot of bad things that have happened in history. And you need to acknowledge that and say, okay, these bad things happened, and now what can we do to fix it to make sure that these things never happen again? Because here's the problem. History has a tendency of repeating itself. People get worried about that. And they should. They should worry about it. So we need to fix it so that things don't happen or continue to happen. Okay? So it's all, you know, a multi-tiered approach, but we really do need to start focusing on things of real value. Real value. Right? Not imagined value. I don't care about a diamond necklace. I just don't. Right? It doesn't do anything. What do I care about? I care about that diamonds are the hardest naturally occurring substance that we're aware of, and the uses thereof. But, ooh, it's shiny, it's clear. Who cares? What does it matter? It doesn't. As I've stated before, I will never buy a diamond ring for anyone. I will never buy anything out of diamond. Because even, you know, free trade diamonds and everything, fair trade diamonds, where, you know, those people in those mines are getting paid properly and everything else, and they're not getting murdered, you know, they're still helping to keep the system of the unfair trade diamonds, where people are getting murdered and in horrible working conditions and being treated as slaves. And like, even my technology feeds those systems, unfortunately. A lot of the rare metals that are in, say, video cameras, computers, cell phones, things like that, unfortunately, are mined by slave and slave-like labor in this world. People that are living in horrible, horrible conditions so I can have a Samsung S5, right? So, like, there's a certain amount of horribleness about all of our lives that we do need to accept. And we need to find better ways to do things, and we need to find, we need to be willing to say that things need to change, and we need to try and force things to change. You know, it's not good enough that, you know, a cell phone is assembled in a factory where the people are treated fairly, are given decent working conditions, decent working hours, decent pay, to have a decent life when they get out of work. It's not enough for that. But the raw materials that are mined to make those parts that then go into the factory that are then assembled by those workers that are being, you know, treated well, those people need to be treated well too. All work has a certain dignity to it, and all people who do work deserve to be treated with, you know, well, all people, forget if they do work or not, all people deserve respect. But more than that, if you're working, there should be no question as to, you know, you should have a certain standard of security in life with everything. Everyone should have that, right? It should be basic human rights that everyone has a certain security in their life. But the people that work should get that much more. Okay? They should, and they're doing work. But shouldn't even have to do work. I mean, really, are you doing anything that if the world ended tomorrow, you would have to still, like, let's say society collapsed tomorrow, right? Would you have to go into your job tomorrow? Like, doctors would go into their job tomorrow if society collapsed. Teachers would go into their job tomorrow if society collapsed. Farmers would go to their job tomorrow if society collapsed. I would hope that they would. If you wouldn't, then you're probably doing the wrong thing. But, like, you know, pushing papers in an office, would you go into work tomorrow? No. No. Well, tomorrow's Saturday. Would you go to work on Monday? No. No, nor would I. That's just a fact of life. You know, if you're not doing anything that actually really contributes, like, what are you doing? You know, we've built entire industries based on, you know, buoying up, you know, paperwork and making money. That's what it is. It's ridiculous. It's insane. You know, like, insurance, you know, why are things so expensive, right? You have the insurance industry, which insured people's goods and services and stuff like that, right? And then it just kept snowballing, right? Not just like health insurance, but everything just kept snowballing. And like, what are they doing? What are they really, you know, it started out just insuring like ships for long journeys and stuff like that. And all right, you know, you're kind of making a bet there. Is the ship going to come back or not? And this, that, the other thing. But like, you know, my car insurance. I've had to use my car insurance once in my life. My vehicle was parked on a street. Somebody came flying down the street, slammed into the back of the car, destroyed the car. Technically, it wasn't my insurance that even paid it. That other person was completely at fault. I was legally parked. You know, luckily there was no one in the car or anything. Destroyed the car. Their insurance pays me money to buy a new car. That's fair, right? But it wasn't like, you know, billions of dollars. It's like $5,000. I got a new car. You know, well, not a new car, but I got a used car that cost $5,000. Right? No big deal. But I pay a lot of money every year. I've been driving for over 20 years now. I've been driving for over 20 years now. And every year I've paid a lot of money to have insurance. And the price never goes down. In fact, check this out. I dropped a car off of my insurance last year because I got rid of it. And my insurance premium actually went up. So they're insuring less cars, but I'm paying more money. Let that sink in for a second. How much sense does that make? It doesn't make any sense. What service are they providing me? I don't get into accidents. I don't cause accidents. They're not providing me any service, but I have to pay for this. And I'm right, because accidents do happen. And, you know, I would pay for car insurance if I didn't have to. But I probably wouldn't pay as much as I do if I didn't have to. Because chances are, I'm not going to get into an accident that I caused. So I don't really need to worry about it, right? Oh, but what if the other person's uninsured? You're right. You're right. Then my insurance would kick in and pay for it. This is true. Okay? And that's probably the reason I would carry insurance. But at the end of the day, my premium went up because I have less cars. Because I'm less of a liability to them, they're charging me more money. That does not make any sense whatsoever, okay? So what are they doing? I don't need an insurance company. I don't. They're not a vital service. They're nice to have service, but they're not a vital service. So, but we do this, and there's this whole idea of manipulating money for no reason really whatsoever. Look at supermarkets, right? They put out coupons and deals all the time. Why wouldn't they just charge the lower price to begin with? Because they want to make as much money as they can off of people, that's why. It's silly. You need the food. You know? They're clearly making enough. If everyone used every coupon the supermarket ever made, they would still make money off of you. So, you know, why wouldn't you just charge that price? I get some coupons are manufacturer's coupons, right? It doesn't matter. I would still just charge that price because what are you doing? You know, I'll never understand it. I'll never get it. I do. I think we need to change the system. I think we need to go to a system that makes sense. I believe that we need to get into a place where, you know, we don't define everyone by the work that they do, that we put an emphasis on doing work that is valuable, either in a basic, you know, life sort of way, or in a way of discovering, of creating, of being the best human beings that we can be. Okay? I think people that are in business to make money and only to make money, and they're not really there to contribute anything of substance, they're the ones that are leeching off of society. They're the ones that don't deserve any money. I've kind of gone on this whole ramble here. And, you know, as I said, I don't prepare. I'm just extemporaneous. This has been complex stuff to go over, right? But, you know, this is a lot of what, you know, I take it to another level, but this is a lot of what the Pope was talking about, right? That there's dignity in work, but the work that we do should be important and should have dignity. And if you're just making money to make money, then you need to knock it off. Or you should be giving a good portion of that money to people who don't have anything. And there are plenty of people who don't have anything who don't deserve to have nothing. Okay? Nobody deserves to have nothing. I don't care if it's the legitimately the laziest person on the face of the planet. The person who just sits there, I don't want to work because I just don't want to work. Don't care. They still don't deserve nothing. They're still a human being, they're still alive. Maybe we should get to the bottom of why they feel that way. Maybe we need to come to them in a way that makes them feel like they have something to contribute. And, you know, maybe we have failed them in not giving them the right outlet for what they can bring to the world, right? Whenever something goes wrong, you should always look at what you could do better first. A baseball coach told me that. I believe that's a good way to look at things. What can I do? What could I have done in whatever given situation that would have made things better? Where did I go wrong? Where did I fail? Right. So when I don't look at homeless people who aren't working or whatever with disdain, I look at where did I fail? Except for the people that refuse to get help when they know that they need to get help. That's one thing. If you know you need, and a lot of people don't know that they need help, but if you know that you need help and you refuse to get help, then you're just an ass. But a lot of these people that make tons of money, they need help and they refuse to get help. So they're just an ass. You know, and it's not just poor people. I'm not talking about poor people. I'm talking about people that work, you know. So that's the whole thing. You know, never be afraid to ask for help. But if you realize that you need help and you don't get it, and it is, there's a sickness. Greed is a sickness, and we need to start treating it as such. And people that, you know, are just making money for the sake of making money, they need to stop. There was that guy, he bought, an immune boosting drug. I forget what it's called, and then he raised the price something like 750% he raised it up to $750 a pill from $1,350, and it was like a 5,000% increase or something like that. You can't do that. I'm sorry, but that drug is for people who need it. It's not Viagra or something like that where people are taking it and they don't really need it. Nobody needs medications like that. People need medications that boost their immune system when they're going through treatment that's destroying their immune system, or when they have a disease that destroys their immune system, right? And, you know, Jonas Salk never patented the polio vaccine, which has saved countless lives. Polio isn't a thing anymore, although some anti-vaxxing idiots are doing their damnedest to make it a thing. I actually saw a thing the other day that the polio vaccine was used to spread the cancer virus. There's no such thing as the cancer virus. There are certain viruses you can get that can increase your chances of having cancer. There's no such thing as a cancer virus. People have always had cancer. There are records of people having cancer in antiquity. Okay? There's no cancer virus. Stop. Get vaccinated. God. What is wrong? What is wrong with this world? Sorry, I'm getting like frustrated, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, he didn't patent the polio virus vaccine, okay? Because he wanted it to be cheap, because he wanted people to have it, because he knew that people needed it. And we need to do that. Okay? Like, yeah, if you put millions of dollars into a drug, you should be able to recoup your losses, whatever. The fact of the matter is that this guy just, he didn't do anything to create the drug. He bought the rights to it. All he is a paper pusher. That's all he does. A hedge fund manager. And he bought this thing and said, well, the only way to make it profitable is to charge this much for it. Well, fuck you. Don't buy the fucking thing then. Seriously, what is wrong with you? And it's not the first drug that he did that to either. These people are monsters. They don't deserve any sort of recognition. They don't deserve any sort of respect. They need help and they need to get it. And I fail in that, you know, for years I wasn't saying these things and I was holding back and I was being nice. And I was like, oh, well, you have a right to live your life the way that you want to live your life. And that's true up until the point where you hurt people. And when you buy drugs that are boosting immune systems and saving lives, and you jack up the price 5,000%, you're hurting people. And that's the end of it. So, with that all said, we have come to the end of another episode. And as I'm fiddling with things before I start beeping, with all that said, I'm going to leave you with that. So, Hartford Marathon coming up. And then we completely ignored running this episode. That's okay. We're in the books, episode 16. I hope you enjoyed. Share with your friends. Yell at me, scream at me. Agree with me, whatever you want, on the book faces, on the tweeters, on the Instagrams, or wherever you can find me. Enjoy. Have fun. Keep running. And remember, if Gil can run, then so can you. Ciao.